going out to the pickup waiting for Brent Patrick to come and bring the church. We only have one source of transportation. And I actually said it right there on the back part, on the part closest to the cab almost. In the back part of the pickup. Anyway, I forgot to pick it up and put it in the car. And Patrick searched the route that we come to church. Asa looked out in the yard and the street and couldn't find it. So, anyway, the Lord didn't permit us to find it, so I thank the Lord for his goodness. It seemed like a yesterday evening, it seemed like the enemy came pretty strong against me, where I felt his presence very strong, and I began to rebuke the enemy, and he was pretty tenacious, and but the Lord blessed, and he did relent. And he backed off. And I didn't know what it was all about. And I can't say I still know everything that it's about. But I knew I was under attack. And so I told the devil just to get behind me. And some other choice words from the Bible. And he asked for respect. So last night, when the gunshots started going, and Patrick was on his way to pick up Asa, and he let me know that there was someone on the street that had, actually on the sidewalk, that had lost a lot of blood, and he started praying for him. He wasn't moving then, and he never did move. And I think there were others involved, and as far as I know, they're still alive in the land of living. And I immediately started asking the Lord to have mercy and make his rounds in the places and the haunts where the devil likes to inhabit. And I believe the Lord had mercy. After that, just for a few minutes, it was just a continual gunshots going off in and around my neighborhood. And some people were thankful, you need to leave that place. Well, when the Lord tells me to, I will. But until then, the Lord wants somebody praying for souls there. And I mean to do that. I'm not really concerned about my life being at risk, but I am concerned about those who are not ready to meet God. And I again solicit your prayers that the Lord will have mercy. The area is not a pristine area, and the activities that go on in my community very likely don't go on in your community. But as I said, that's the house, the place where the Lord put us almost 14 years ago, and I'll be there until he tells me it's time to move from there. But I know the devil has special places and haunts, but there are seed beds for violence and murder and every type of criminal act that you can think of. And so as the Lord puts it on your heart, I appreciate you being able to live in safe neighborhoods, but that's not where the Lord has me right now.
Amen.
And I desire a special prayer that God would have mercy on the souls of mankind. I just felt like, well, the Lord no doubt spared somebody, but that individual, it was apparently their time to go. And it breaks my heart when I know anybody has gone out into eternity. In that fashion, it makes you feel like that they were not prepared to meet God, but the Lord knows. And I desire for the Lord to deal with souls of mankind, that he rebuke and bind the power of the devil and murder and vicious acts of all kinds. God's able to do that. And, I know he needs people that are praying to do the work that he desires to do. I desire your prayers this morning, that God would bless the reading of his word. It's been on my mind most of the night, which may have been the cause of my not being very cautious and careful about my Bible. Or maybe the Lord just wants me to look for another Bible. No, but anyway, I will be probably doing that. If someone does not return my Bible, whoever picked it up, I believe I have my name and my address in there. So I'd like to keep it whether I use it or not. So I would like for the Lord to return it if it's his will to do so. I would like for you to turn with me to the 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. I would like to remind you, because there's very little that you have not heard in the Word of God over the years you've been saved, but I'd like to remind you that God is still our defense. He's always been that. But sometimes the enemy tries to shade certain truths to try to get us to feel like we have some power when it comes to the things that come against us, the trials and the tests and the temptations of life. Our only strength is God. Our physical strength comes from God. And our spiritual strength, certainly, is dependent upon God. And it means everything for us to live a life of obedience before him, prayerfulness and a carefulness before him. The best tools, weapons against the enemy is faith, prayer, and praise. Whatever order, however God ordains it to be so, those are the ways that the devil is sure to back up. So may God bless us and help us wherever we are in our journey through life. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to eternity, every last one of us. We're ready to meet him. We're on our way to heaven. We're not prepared to meet God. We are on our way to a place that we don't want to go to. We don't even want to think about going to that place. So heaven is still a prepared place for prepared people. So may God bless us and help us to stay in a heart condition and an attitude of obedience to him, that he will be able to be our defense. God is still the help of the helpless. And he's never been able to help those that try to help themselves. If anything, they get in the way of God. But we want God to have his way. He is the one that has the grace, the power, the authority. He's the one that speaks and men live. He's the one that speaks and men die. And so, as we look into a few of these scriptures, what the Lord blessed me, brought back to me, as I was sitting during Sunday school, trying to think of all the scriptures that he had given me. I believe I got most of them. So I'm trusting the Lord to convey his word to you, and through his spirit, be able to edify your souls. Amen. 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning at the 13th verse.
Hear ye that are afar off what I have done.
Yes. Yes.
Acknowledge my might.
Acknowledge it. And apparently, even in that time and in the time that we live, there are not very many that are willing to acknowledge God's might. It is the enemy's intent to so speak to us, and we're living in an age where self-esteem is highlighted in the life of everyone, even in the religious world now. They put much emphasis on the esteem of yourself. And we know if anyone has a successful Christian journey or an experience with God, self-esteem is nowhere in the picture. Amen. Self has no place in the life of a child of God. It is a hindrance when we put too much emphasis on ourselves and we don't give God and His power, His might, His Christ, His atonement, His promises, all the things that He has provided for us. We don't give account to those things. Then the devil knows that that weakens us and weakens our ability to stand against him. And in order to stand, we need to be able to have God's strength. We need to be enveloped in it. We need to be consumed with the strength that only God can give. So acknowledge my might. Acknowledge who I am. Acknowledge that all power in heaven and earth is in the hand of His Christ. Acknowledge that there's nothing you and I will ever face and that God won't give us success. That Jesus never fails, never has, He never will. He doesn't change. He does not come along every few generations and look at the conditions of the world and make exceptions for anything of a sinful nature. It may look to others that you can actually see something or know the existence of something sinful. The devil would like for us to get used to sin. He'd like for us to become comfortable with sinful things and accept them as just as part of the plan of life. Sin has never had a positive plan in the lives of anyone. Never will have a part. But we're living in a day and an age where the powers that be in the spiritual realm are endeavoring through avenues that maybe we would not have thought, we could not have put together. But the enemy is using avenues where the Christian and the religious world are propagating and promoting the things that cause a soul not to be able to grasp and to put in their hearts the strength of the Word of God. And so, God help us and bless us. I will probably address that a little bit more, but I would like to read through the rest of this and endeavor by God's grace to exalt His name and His power and His ability to do for us what no other power can do.
Amen.
All right, reading on a little bit more. The sinners in Zion are afraid.
Fearfulness
has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions. Shaketh his hands from holding a bribe. Stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. Shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. The place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Now, this is written, excuse me a moment. This is written at the time of the threat upon the children of Israel by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. And as his powers are getting closer, and you know the many letters that he sent to Hezekiah, who was king at this time, endeavoring to intimidate and terrorize the people and cause them to feel like that the God of heaven that they knew, the sovereign king of the universe, was not able to withstand his power. He had overwhelmed many nations, and he had it in his heart and mind, well, this little nation here, they'll just be a pushover. And they'll capitulate like every other nation have. The power I have, the force that I have, has gathered me many kingdoms and much riches, and this is going to be just another one of those. But they didn't realize who they were dealing with. We're dealing with a people whose God is the God of the universe. He was dealing with a people who did not trust in Dagon or Ashtaroth or Molech or all the different idols that were in existence at that time, or Baal. They did not pray to those idol gods of wood and silver and stone. They were praying to the God of heaven, a living God, one that could hear and answer prayer. And they were looking to that God. And the king was a righteous king. And he was encouraging them to look to the God of heaven. Don't look to me. I don't even know what to do. But my eyes are upon the one that knows what to do. And I want you to set your focus on that God, because he is able to deliver. He has power over whatever forces come against us. He has wisdom and grace, and he has everything that we need to be a success in our journey through life. And so, as Isaiah was writing, the prophet was writing these things, and letting it be known so that you and I can know what God has done in the past for others, he's very willing to do for us as well. All right, reading on some more. 19 verses. No. People of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, thou cannot understand. I want you to look on Zion. Now, this is talking about the church. Look upon Zion. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth, the whole world, is Mount Zion. Look upon her. Look to her. You're not looking especially to people. You're looking to a principle of truth and right that God ordained before the foundation of the world. You're looking upon a spiritual organization that God put together by calling people out of sin. You're looking to those. You're looking upon the power of one that can crush a man without even speaking. You're looking to one that holds the breath of every man in his hands. And so, you're not looking to an idol god. You're not looking to something that can be overcome and overruled. But you're looking to a power and a might that is holding up God's people, a church, a power again that prescribes in righteousness and holiness, and that will not back down from the devil. And so God is, through the writings of this brother, is encouraging us and causing us to look. We're living in a day and an age where the church, it has been under attack long before perhaps we acknowledged it. But we are under attack to the extent that the enemy is becoming more and more and more bold with the things that he's doing and saying. But God bless us. I encourage you, as I was encouraged, as I was coming along in my experience in my early years of living for the Lord, I heard constantly being preached just about at every camp meeting, and certainly every camp meeting I was able to be in Akron, Ohio, and in Monarch, and wherever else I was able to go, especially after I was married, Bowling and Tulsa and Guthrie, wherever the Lord ordained for us to go. I heard the words, "Children, stay with the people of God." Amen. I heard it again and again and again. Amen. Well, the enemy is doing everything he can to play down the real essence of God's truth and his church. Folks, she's still the only one of a mother. And there's no way for you and I to substitute what God has ordained to work in his church. His strengths are still in her. Everything that a soul needs. I heard it preach again and again and again, and I pass it on to you. All we need is in God's church. We don't need to go outside of the church for anything. God has made it possible for us to have access by faith to everything that we need to walk this narrow way, to go from earth to glory, To stay on the King's highway and not turn to the right or not turn to the left.
Amen.
God bless us. We are greatly challenged today. And may God help us to rise to the challenge.
Amen.
This is not a time to back up. This is not a time for us to accept anything watered down. We need something that's going to give us strength and power and boldness and courage to stand against the enemy and the onslaught that's coming against the souls of mankind. So look upon Zion. She's beautiful. Again, the enemy is trying to portray her as something that is fanatical, so orthodox that it does not fit in the culture and society that we live in. But folks, this is the very thing that we need. This is the salvation of the souls of mankind. It is your salvation and it is mine. And we should never look with disdain upon God's people, upon His church, upon His word. God help us. Let us not be intimidated by the enemy. May God help us. It is not a popular thing today to stand for God's truth. But folks, we're not here looking for popularity anyway. We are here in the church of the living God because we know that's where the Lord abides. He commanded the blessing here. And so God encourage us this morning that we will renew our vows right sitting on your seat. Make up your mind and reassert it. Renew it every day that you're going to live for God and you're going to die for God and you're going to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. God help us. May the Lord encourage our hearts along the way of life. Look upon Mount Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem. Not a busy, confusing type of place. There's so much going on that you can't tell one thing from the other. All right, read on. Tabernacle, it shall not be taken. No one will dismantle the church. No one can disassemble the church. It'll always be here until there is no earth. Until time is no more, there will always be a church. It's not a question of it going down. It's not a question of it becoming outdated. The question is, and will you abide in her tabernacles? Will you stay on the old ship of Zion? Unless these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. You will not be able to face the forces that are coming against us and stand true to God if you do not. If you do not get a hold of and hide deep down in your heart the truths of God's eternal word of truth. This is no time to question whether it's true. It's landed. The ship of Zion has landed many a thousands, many a millions. It stood faithful to those whose head pressed a dying pillow. They stood faithful to God. They trusted Him throughout their sickness. And they were able by God's grace to pass over into the other land. Now, I'm not condemning or judging anyone that does not have the ability to trust the Lord fully for soul and body. But I encourage you that you have access by faith to a grace that will cause you to put your full trust and confidence in God. Some trust in horses and chariots. Some trust in the arm of flesh. We have a song in our song book. Number 271, maybe it's verse 3. It says something about the arm of flesh will fail you. And you dare not trust your own. That's so very true. It's so very true. God help us. Look on Zion. Nothing will be moved. Nothing will be taken down. Not one of the stakes shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. The promises that are based on the atonement and the dying and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll never be moved. It'll never be broken. Those promises will never be broken. If you embrace those promises and stand on them and rely on God to be true to His word, folks, He'll take you through.
Amen.
He'll take you all the way through. So it is Let us not question the authority of the Word of God. All right, read on some more. Glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. No, a galley with oars, that's a slave ship. No slaves in the church of God. No slaves, no one bound in sin and fetters and chains. The Lord has broken them free from the things that they were bound to. No, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. And not the wise, the prudent, the proud, the arrogant. Where they said, where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Where is the wise men that have to have signs in order for them to believe? God help us. Folks, I believe Jesus said to the disciples as they stood by, after Thomas desired to touch the nail prints in his hands and the sword in his side, he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's where the blessing is. It's not that God doesn't show us a sign from time to time, but you can't build your experience on signs. Lord, if you show me a sign, I'll do it. Folks, sometimes God's going to require of you the most of the time that you just believe His Word.
Amen.
Just believe His Word. You're not going to get signs. May God help us. The Greeks have said they require signs. But God help us. We're not philosophical beings to the extent that we place our life on beliefs of Plato or Aristotle or Schopenhauer or Nietzsche and all. He was the God is dead man. God help us. All those people with their philosophies, they've gone on to another place. They're not here anymore. Some of their words are still known. Some of their words are outdated to some. And then some people that refuse to believe the Word of God dig in to those philosophies and they reincarnate them. And they believe in them. And they spread it to others. But folks, it would be well with you and I if we just stand on the Word of God.
Yes.
All right. For the Lord is our judge. Is that where we are?
Yes.
The Lord is King. Yes.
The Lord is our King. He will save us.
Okay, let's we can stop there. Thank you. So His place of rocks shall be the munitions. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Munitions. Strong, thick walls of defense. Rock walls. Made of material that is not easy to overcome. But as you see, what we have as our defense is something that God ordained long before you and I got saved. That if we stayed within the bounds of the Word of God, we would be protected and secure. We would have a refuge. We'd have a place to run into. We'd have a place that would cover us in all types of weather, all types of life's conditions. We would have a place that would be safe. A quiet resting place. That's what God has provided for us when we go on to perfection. Being saved is wonderful. Justified experience is good. But you need to go on to perfection and get the second definite work of grace. You have power. Power over yourself that you never had before. You'll be able to speak to your tongue and your tongue will obey. You'll be able to speak to your thoughts and your thoughts will obey. God help us. It's some training that God gives us as we go along in our experience. And we will have some places where we realize, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And the Lord will prick us and we will respond to Him in honesty. And we will repent and ask the Lord to give me grace, Lord, that I won't be found in that place again. And He will hear. All right, we're going to read on a little more. Psalms 7, 9 and 10. Would you read that, please? And someone else get Isaiah 31, 4 and 5.
Oh, that the wickedness of the wicked comes to an end.
Yes.
But establish the judge.
Amen.
For the righteous God guides the heart and the brain.
Yes.
My defense
Yes.
Stay in the upright.
Amen. 9 and 10, that's it. Okay, good. Thank you. He saves who? The upright in heart. Yes, yeah, that's it. Thank you. I didn't turn to it. I really forgot all the words of it. That's exactly what I want. God defends His people. He does and He will. He always shall. Till time shall be no longer, then there will be no need. So, the Lord would have us to know of a certainty that He is always there. 59 Psalms, I want you to read that, please. 59 and 9. Did I say that? Did someone have Psalms 59 and 9?
And,
yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, because of His strength. Not mine, because of His strength. All right, Isaiah 4, 2 through 6. Let's read that. Isaiah 4, 2 through 6.
In that day,
yes,
shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious.
Amen.
And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are the gates of Israel.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass that yes. he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written along in the city of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. You know, the rains can get pretty thin sometimes. But you know, God has promised that there's going to be a remnant. In every age, there has been a remnant. When there was strong persecution against the church, there was always a remnant. There's always some that were spared, that continue to hold on to the Lord and would not compromise with the enemy or the dictates of those that were in authority and that tried to force them to turn away their love and allegiance to Christ. There was always persecution. And in the persecution, not only did it strengthen God's saints, but it won other souls to the Lord. There's something about a child of God when he in meekness stands for the Lord regardless of the forces of evil that comes against him. It's something that is a winning quality of God's people, that they will bear the persecution, they will bear the afflictions and the pains and the sufferings that God permits to come their way and still stand true. Come out of it stronger on the other side. That's God's intent. And I believe that is the result of one that will truly let God be your defense. Let God allow Him to do it. He's not going to force it on us. It's something that we're going to have to choose. So may the Lord encourage and inspire us that we will anchor ourselves, be rooted and grounded in this gospel truth, that we will be able to endure to the end. It's all right. It's good to have a good start, and we appreciate it, and we're glad. We feel like somebody's hit the rock, but you're going to have to go all the way to the end. So pace yourself. Pace yourself one day at a time. Face the enemy on the terms of the gospel, not on his terms and not on yours, but the terms of the Bible. You face the enemy, face the foe, and I assure you he'll back down. He will back down. He is afraid. The song said in Sunday school or Bible school, he's afraid of the Word of God. And he truly is. He has to have a respect for it. He has to. God help us. All right. Did I give you another one?
Isaiah 31?
Yes. 31, 4 and 5.
For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me.
Yes. Yes.
When the
multitude
of shepherds is called forth against him,
amen.
Will not be afraid of their voice,
yes.
Nor abase themselves for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion.
Yes.
And for the hill thereof.
for sure. You know, that sometimes in our experience, and we don't have maybe a mature experience yet, and the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Lord promises to show up at those times in force and fight your battles through. Just like the lion has to take the young lions out to teach them how to fall upon the prey so that they can survive, so that they can eat and have sustenance to take them through. So the Lord does the same thing. As a song 85 in our song book, the Lion of Judah has broken every chain and gives us the victory again and again. He surely does that. He's a lion. He's a king. He has power. He has what it takes for us to be able to withstand the evil one. The enemy, he opposes as a lion at times. And he roars. And he does all that he can to try to intimidate us and get us to back off of the word of God. But God, help us to stand our ground. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. All right, I'm going to read on a little bit more. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures that you don't really have to read. Psalm 62, 1 through 8. Psalms 89, 15 through 18. I'd like to say just a little bit about the forces of evil that are coming against the church today. It is a form of the spirit of Antichrist. Every age has had its Antichrist. Right after the primitive church was established on the rock, Christ Jesus, there were false doctrine going around almost as soon as it was established. And the Lord, through his power, overcame those things after the death of Jesus. And the disciples went out into all the world, preached the gospel to every creature. And through their ministry, much of the barbaric world, the heathen world, was brought to the cross. And there was much, much great change in the cultures. Those that had become real Bible Christians. There were things that the witchcraft and all the many things that happened that caused their lives, the quality of their lives, to be much less than God intended. The Lord put the enemy to flight, and he overcame the power of the pagan and paganism and the dragon and paganism. But that same power, I don't know, maybe we'll read that one scripture. I believe it's Revelation, the 20th chapter. We're going to read that one and end with that, probably. I'll make reference to two other words in 38th chapter of Ezekiel, 1 through 4. You don't have to read. In the 39th, the first few verses of the 39th chapter of Ezekiel, there's words of Gog and Magog. They represented a rather fierce people, and a people that you would call barbaric at the time, maybe people that lived in the general area of Armenia today. However, they were a force. Sometimes Gog and Magog is referring to a place, a land, and sometimes it's talking about a leader or a king that established that place. I say a heathenistic kingdom and culture that they had. And the Bible speaks about the fight that they would have with Jerusalem and Israel, or spiritual Jerusalem. And so we have in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, let's see, we'll start reading at the first verse. I'd like to give you an explanation. Yes. 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 All right. Remember, the dragon represents paganism, heathenism, idolatry, and all that goes along with it. And as I may have said before, the murder-suicide in the perversion, men and women, bestiality, all that was involved with paganism. All right, read on. That's his, this is historical. This is, you can find this in history books. Read on.
And cast him into the waterless pit.
Yes.
And shut him up.
Yes.
And set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be
loosed
a little better.
Yes.
And I saw Rome.
Yes, this is saying that paganism is going to be reintroduced into the world. After Christ and his disciples defeated paganism and idolatry, that the enemy never did let go, he gave his power to the beast, which is the his power, which represents the Roman Catholic Church. Gave his power to the beast, and then when that was exposed in 1530, with the Reformation, he gave his power to the image of the beast. And that's Protestantism. All right, read on a little bit more.
And I saw a throne.
I saw a throne.
Yes. And judgment
was
given unto them.
Yes.
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Yes, those that were martyred for the cause of Christ. Anyone that said they were a Christian, they were in danger of their life being taken, executed, and persecuted, mostly their lives taken. How many millions? You look, I don't know if you've ever read into Fox's Book of Martyrs. It tells the many, many, many that lost their life standing for what they knew was true before God.
Amen.
All right, read on some more.
And for the word of God.
Yes.
Cannot worship the beast.
No.
Neither the
image. Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Yes.
But the rest of the dead.
This 1,000 years is not a literal 1,000 years. It is a long period of time. Read on.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished.
Yes.
This is the first resurrection.
Amen.
Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection.
Yes. First resurrection, when a person gets saved, converted, regenerated. Dead in sins, but after they repented, they were alive unto God. Made them even sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Read on a little more.
They shall be priests of God and of Christ.
Yes.
And shall reign 1,000 years.
Yes.
And when the 1,000 years are expired.
Yes. Satan shall be loose in the form of a dragon again. Yes.
Are in the four quarters of the earth.
Yes.
Gog and Magog,
gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea.
And they went up on the breadth of the earth.
Yes.
And compassed the camp of the saints about.
Yes.
And they loved
the city. Folks, that is happening now.
Yes.
This is talking about, and I can't think of where the other scripture is regarding the Battle of Armageddon. Supposed to be the final battle of evil against good. It's in Revelation, but I couldn't think of where that scripture was. But it is in the Revelation. We are spiritually in a warfare against the forces of evil, not just from the places where you would expect evil to be, but from places that are on that are wearing a cloak of religion. That's where very likely most of our persecution is coming from. In the spirit, the enemy is doing everything he can. Now, I understood that the revised Bibles were wrong, but I didn't until the Lord blessed me to be able to get a hold of a book that was given me that demonstrates and is documented that all, if not all, most of them, but the most popular of them, the NIV, NASB, and the New King James Version, the editors are sympathetic and members of the New Age religion. So the changes that they make in taking out the word Jesus, taking out the word God, completely omitting certain scriptures, not even put wanting to soft pedal sin, won't put in sodomy, all the words that spell the age that you and I live in. The enemy is doing everything he can through the religious sector to contaminate the minds of people that would live right. Who would think that the enemy was able to use a medium that was meant for people that were Christians? But we're talking about people, oftentimes, that have rejected the real Bible truth. They do not want to live the standard that the Bible preaches. And so they're not upset about the fact that sin has been watered down, that forgiveness and pardon, the blood of Jesus, has been taken out in very many key scriptures, so that the atonement of Christ, it means nothing at all. That sin is just in your mind what you think sin to be. Now, you would never think religious people, but these are people under a cloak of deceit and antichrist that are giving out to the world something that will cause them not to have anything to fight the devil with. So New Age religion and the New World Order, they are working hand in hand today. And I say, how strongly can I put this? I would encourage everyone that has any confidence in the revisions and the new Bibles that have been brought forth since the 1880s. I think 1881 the first one was brought forth. I would encourage you to compare scriptures, and you will see of a certainty that the real vitalness of God's Word has been taken out of it. There's no conviction. The gospel converted so many, many souls. And I don't know if you have ever read Greasy, the Robber. When I was first saved, I was given a copy of the little booklet to read, and someone recently gave it to me in a CD. And it talks about these robbers. This is in Russia, Imperial Russia at the time, in the 1890s, how they went about robbing and killing people. One of the people that they killed had a New Testament in his belongings. One of them began to read it, and they got converted, and they left that trade and went on to the authorities and gave themselves up into the hands of the authorities to do what they wanted. That's the power of the gospel, folks. And when you begin to take something out of it, that power, the conviction that goes along with God's truth, then it appears like the Bible is just like any other book. But it is not. The authorized King James Version is a book that God ordained. The others, I would be bold enough to say that the enemy have done this. The enemy planted it. So folks, if you question this, I would like to see you make a comparison. And the book that someone gave me that substantiated what I was thinking, I had history, and I had scripture, but I didn't have anything documented from the academia world. And the name of the book, if you don't mind, me giving that name out, you don't mind? Sister Tish is the one that stopped me after I mentioned it in a message and gave me the book. And it was just a godsend to me because it documents that's actually what has happened. Those editors and those that are sitting on the board that have a say-so and what is to be taken out or what is added are sympathetic or members of the New Age religion. Some of them are perverted people. So God have mercy upon us. This is what we are fighting against today. This is the power of Antichrist that's coming against us today. So may the Lord bless us. Be aware of what demon is fighting you. It is Antichrist all the way. Nothing about those versions. Encourage a person to live godly, righteously in this present world. So may God bless us and encourage us. Read on the rest of that chapter and we'll be finished. You can give it. Read it. Amen. That's good enough. That's good enough. I just wanted the name Armageddon. I think that's the only place there is found in the Bible. It's a gathering place for the final war of good and evil. And so, I don't know how close we are. And people have been saying we're close for 100 years or more. And 100 years or more is close when you're talking about eternity. But the forces that are coming against the church in righteousness and good are real forces. And they are camouflaged to look like someone that is purporting truth when actually they're purporting false, purporting false doctrine. To poison the minds of souls that have a penchant toward religion but don't really want to pay a price of real Bible religion. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that there are not honest people that are caught up using this kind of material and are not honestly trying to live for the Lord. I'm not going to make that judgment because there probably are. But I can tell you of a surety that many of those in Christendom are not interested in the gospel where a person confesses his sins and lives holy and righteous and gets sanctified and have power over themselves and denies themselves. I don't believe many of them are really interested in the real truth of God's word. But there are some, and we, by God's grace, we are to pray for them. And we are not to look down upon them. We're not to be condescending to them. There are many people that are caught in cages of deception. There are many people that had no knowledge of what they were in, and when they came to the knowledge of the truth, they had such opposition that many of them just capitulated. Every so often, one came out from among them and made themselves separate. So God bless us to realize He is our only defense. The devil's pernicious. He's pernicious. He will eat away at you and I if we allow him to. May God bless the reading of His word. Pray for me.